ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
Okay, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, Verse 21. What Prahlad learned in the womb. He's speaking to his classmates who asked him, how is it possible, Prahlad, that you know all this stuff? Because you just stay in the palace all the time, you don't go out. You've never seen anybody come in here and instruct you. What's going on? An expert geologist can understand where there is gold and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Purport. Here is a very good example concerning spiritual understanding. Foolish rascals, including so-called gyanis, philosophers, and scientists, cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body because they are lacking in spiritual knowledge. The Vedas enjoin tat vijnanartham sagarum evabhigacchet. To understand spiritual knowledge, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Unless one has been trained in geology, one cannot detect gold in stone. Similarly, unless one has been trained by a spiritual master, he cannot understand what is spirit and what is matter. Here it is said, Yogais Tad Abhigya. This indicates that one who has connected himself with spiritual knowledge can understand that there is a spiritual soul within the body. However, one who is in an animalistic conception of life and has no spiritual culture cannot understand. As an expert mineologist or geologist can understand where there is gold and can then invest his money to dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore, an expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within. One who has not been trained cannot distinguish between gold and stone. Similarly, fools and rascals who have not learned from an expert spiritual master what is soul and what is matter cannot understand the existence of soul within the body. To understand such knowledge, one must be trained in the mystic yoga system, or finally, in the bhakti yoga system. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 1855, bhaktyama abhijanati, unless one takes shelter of the bhakti yoga process, one cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita begins by teaching Dehinosmi yata dehi omaram yomanamjana tadadiham tadaprapti dhirasatra namuyati dhirasatra namuyati dhirasatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body to youth or old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Thus, the first instruction is that one should understand that the soul is within the body, transmigrating from one body to another. That is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Any person who is not expert in understanding this science, unwilling to understand it, remains in the bodily conception of life, or the animalistic conception of life, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyat babudhi kunapetri datuke sa eva gokaraha. every member of human society should clearly understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. For only in this way one can be spiritually elevated and automatically give up the false illusory knowledge by which one thinks, I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine. Aham mameti. This dogish conception should be rejected immediately. One should be prepared to understand the spirit soul and the Supreme Spirit, God, who are eternally related. Thus one may return home back to Godhead, having solved all the problems of life. Text 22. The Lord's eight separated material energies, the three modes of material nature, the 16 transformations, the 11 senses, and the five gross material elements, like earth and water, within all these, the one spirit soul exists as the observer. Therefore, all the great acharyas have concluded that the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements. Purport. As explained in the previous verse, Chetreshu Deheshu Tatma Dogaya Ajatmavit Brahmakatim Labeta. A spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. The intelligent person in finding the self within the body must understand the eight external energies which are listed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhumirapurmano vayu kammano bhujayavacha ahankara idhiyame vina prakriti rashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. Bhumi, earth, includes all the objects of sense perception, rupa, form, rasa, taste, gandha, smell, shabda, sound, and sparsha, touch. Within the earth are the fragrance of roses, the taste of sweet fruit, and whatever else we want. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 110.4, Sukhamadukhamahi, the earth, mahi, contains all our requirements. Thus the objects of sense perception are all present in Bhumi, or the earth. The gross material elements and subtle material elements, mind, intelligence, and ahankara, false ego, constitute the total material energy. Within the total material energy are the three material modes or qualities. These qualities, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna, belong not to the soul, but to the material energy. It is because of the interaction of these three material modes of nature that the five knowledge-gathering senses, the five working senses, and their controller, the mind, are manifested. Then, according to these modes, the living entity gets the opportunity to perform different types of karma with different types of knowledge, thinking, feeling, and willing. Thus, the bodily machine begins to work. This has all been properly analyzed in Sankhya Yoga by the great acharyas, especially by this in its incarnation as Devahuti Putra Kapila. This is indicated here by the word acharyai. We need not follow anyone who is not an authorized acharya. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One can understand the truth fully when he has taken shelter of an expert acharya. The living entity is individual, but the body is a composition of many material elements. This is proved by the fact that as soon as the living entity is this combination of material elements, it becomes a mere conglomeration of matter. The matter is qualitatively one, and the spiritual soul is qualitatively one with the Supreme. The Supreme is one, and the individual soul is one, but the individual soul is understood to be the master of the individual combination of material energy, whereas the Supreme Lord is the controller of the total material energy. The living entity is the master of his particular body, and according to his activities, he is subjected to different types of pains and pleasures. However, although the supreme person, the Paramatma, is also one, he is present as an individual in all the different bodies. The material energy is in fact divided into 24 elements. The individual soul, the owner of the individual body, is the 25th element subject, and above everything is Lord Vishnu, as Paramatma, the supreme controller, who is the 26th subject. When one understands all of these 26 subjects, he becomes a Dhyatmavit, an expert in understanding the distinction between matter and spirit. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Chetra Chetra Jnana, understanding of the Chetra, the constitution of the body and of the individual soul and the super soul, constitutes real jnana, or knowledge. Unless one ultimately understands that the Supreme Lord is eternally related with the individual soul, one's knowledge is imperfect. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Bahunam jamanamante gyanamama prapadyate vasudevasam iti samahatma sudurlabha samahatma sudurlabha samahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually acknowledged surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Everything, material and spiritual, consists of various energies of Vasudeva, to whom the individual soul, the spiritual part of the Supreme Lord, is subordinate. Upon understanding this perfect knowledge, one says, Vasudeva Sabhaviti Samahatma Sidurlava. Text 23. There are two kinds of bodies for every individual soul. A gross body made of five gross elements, and a subtle body made of three subtle elements. Within these bodies, however, is the spirit soul. One must find the soul by analysis, saying, this is not it, this is not it. Thus one must separate spirit from matter. For proof, as previously stated, Swanam yata brahmasu hemakara chetreshu yogais tat abhigya apnuyat. An expert in the study of soil can find out where gold is and then dig there. He can then analyze the stone and test the gold with nitric acid. Similarly, one must analyze the whole body to find within the body the spirit soul. In studying one's own body, one must ask himself whether his head is his soul, his fingers are his soul. We reject real elements, combinations of material elements in the body. Then if one is expert and follows the Acharya, he can understand that he is the spiritual soul living within the body. The greatest Acharya, Krishna, begins his teachings in Bhagavad Gita by saying, Dehino svimita dehe komaram yoganamchara tathadehantara praktir yurastatra namuryati Gidas-tatra-nabhuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body of death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. The spirit soul possesses the body and is within the body. This is the real analysis. The soul never mixes with the bodily elements. Although the soul is within the body, It is separate and always pure. One must analyze and understand his self. This is self-realization. Neti is the analytical process of rejecting matter. By expertly conducting such an analysis, one can understand where the soul is. One who is not expert, however, cannot distinguish gold from earth, nor the soul from the body. 24. Sober and expert persons should search for the soul within minds purified through analytical study in terms of the soul's connection with and distinction from all things that undergo creation, maintenance, and destruction. Purport. A sober person can study himself and distinguish the soul from the body by analytical study. For example, when one considers his body, his head, his hands, and so on, one can certainly understand the difference between the spirit soul and the body. No one says, I head. Everyone says, my head. Thus, there are two entities, the head and I. They are not identical, although they appear to be one conglomeration. One may argue, when we analyze the body, we find a head, hands, legs, belly, a belly, blood, bones, urine, stool, and so on. But after everything is considered, where is the existence of the soul? A sober man, however, avails himself of this Vedic injunction. Ito va ivani bhutani jayante yenagatani jivanti yat param yat visham vishanti tat vijyasasva tat vijyasasva tat brahmiti. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1.1. Thus he can understand that the head, hands, legs, and indeed the entire body have grown on the basis of the soul. If the soul is within, the body, head, hands, and legs grow, but otherwise they do not. A dead child does not grow up, for the soul is not present. If by a careful analysis of the body, one still cannot find the existence of the soul, this is due to his ignorance. How can a gross man, fully engaged in materialistic activities, understand the soul, which is a small particle of spirit, 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair? Such a person foolishly thinks that the material body has grown from a combination of chemicals, although he cannot find them. The Vedas inform us, however, that chemical combinations do not constitute the living force. The living force is the Atma and Paramatma, and the body grows on the basis of that living force. The fruit of the tree grows and undergoes six kinds of change because of the presence of the tree. If there were no tree, there could be no question of growth and maturity of fruit. Therefore, beyond the existence of the body are the Paramatma and Atma within the body. This is the first understanding of spiritual knowledge explained in Bhagavad Gita. Dehi nosmin yata dehe. The body exists because of the presence of the Supreme Lord and the Jiva, which is part of the Lord. This is further explained by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Maya tadipitam sarvam jagat vyakta murtina mastani sarvabhutani nasaham prishvastita nasaham prishvastita nasaham prishvastita. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. The Supreme Soul exists everywhere. The Vedas enjoin sarvam, kalidam, brahman. Everything is brahman, or an expansion of brahman's energies. Sutre, manigana, ivam. Everything rests on the Lord, just like pearls strung together on a thread. The thread is the principle Brahma. He is the supreme cause, the supreme Lord, upon whom everything rests. Matta paratanam nanyat. Thus we must study the Atma and Paramatma, the individual soul and the super soul, upon whom the entire material cosmic manifestation rests. This is explained by the Vedic statement, Vitova imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivante. Text 25. Intelligence can be perceived in three states of activity: wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. The person who perceives these three is to be considered the original master, the ruler, the supreme personality of Godhead. Purport. Without intelligence, one cannot understand the direct activities of the senses, nor can he understand dreaming or the cessation of all gross and subtle activities. The seer and controller is the supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme soul, by whose direction the individual soul can understand when he is awake, when he is sleeping, and when he is completely entranced. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entities are completely absorbed in the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep through their intelligence. This intelligence is supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who accompanies the individual soul as a friend. Srila Bhattacharya says that the living entity is sometimes described as Sattva Buddhi when his intelligence acts directly to perceive pains and pleasures above activities. There is a dreaming state in which understanding comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, is the Supreme Controller, and under his direction, the living entities are sub-controllers. One must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one's intelligence.
26. As one can understand the presence of the air by the aromas it carries, so under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can understand the living soul by these three divisions of intelligence. These three divisions, however, are not the soul. They are constituted of the three modes and are born of activities. Purport. As already explained, there are three states to our existence, namely wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. In all three states, we have different experiences. Thus, the soul is the observer of these three states. Actually, the activities of the body are not the activities of the soul. The soul is different from the body, just as aromas are distinct from the material vehicle in which they are carried. The soul is unattached to material activities. This analysis can be considered by a person who is fully under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. This is confirmed by the Vedic injunction, Yasmin Vignate Sarvam Evam Vignatum Bhavati. If one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can automatically understand everything else. If one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can automatically understand everything else. Because of not taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, even great scholars, scientists, philosophers, and religionists are always bewildered. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.232. Even though one may artificially think himself liberated from material contamination, if he has not taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, his intelligence is polluted. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.42, Indriyani Priyam Yahur indriyibhya param varaha manasastu parabhutir yobhude paratastu saha yobhude paratastu saha yobhude paratastu saha. Above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul. Ultimately, when one's intelligence becomes clear through devotional service, one is situated in Buddhi Yoga. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenama Upayanti Te. When devotional service develops and one's intelligence becomes clear, one can use his intelligence to return home, back to Godhead. What can he use his intelligence for?
To go back home.
27. Through polluted intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature, and thus one is conditioned by material existence, like a dreaming state in which one falsely suffers. Material existence, which is due to ignorance, must be considered unwanted and temporary. Purport. The unwanted condition of temporary life is called ignorance. One can very easily understand that the material body is temporary, for it is generated at a certain date and ends at a certain date, after undergoing the six kinds of change, namely birth, death, growth, maintenance, transformation, and dwindling. This condition of the eternal soul is due to his ignorance, and although it is temporary, it is unwanted. Because of ignorance, one is put into temporary bodies one after another. The spirit soul, however, does not need to enter such temporary bodies. He does so only due to his ignorance or his forgetfulness of Krishna. Therefore, in the human form of life, when one's intelligence is developed, one should change his consciousness by trying to understand Krishna. Then one can be liberated. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, where the Lord says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yogeti tattvata tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana naiti mam eti sorjana naiti mam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Everyone okay?
Yes.
Good. Unless one understands Krishna and comes to Krishna consciousness, one must continue in material bondage. To end this conditional life, one must serve God. Indeed, that is demanded by the Supreme Lord. Sarvadharmana parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. As advised by Maharaj Rishabhadeva, asadu manye yata atmanoyam asamati kleshada asadeha. One must be intelligent enough to understand that although one's body is temporary and will not endure for long as one has a body, he must undergo the pangs of material existence. Therefore, if by good association, by the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, one takes to Krishna consciousness, his conditional life of material existence is vanquished, and his original consciousness, known as Krishna consciousness, is revived. When one is Krishna conscious, he can realize that material existence, whether one is awake or dreaming, is nothing but a dream and has no factual value. This realization is possible by the grace of the Supreme Lord. This grace is also present in the form of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Mm. Oh my goodness. Mm. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is for everyone to engage in welfare activities to awaken the foolish living entity, especially in human society, so that he may come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and benefit by liberation from conditional life. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya cites the following verses. Dukkha rupo samsaro vipurvam avapyate itasvapne shirascedam svayam kritvapanavashaha tato dukkha avapyata katarajagatikopitu jnanam apyatmano dukkham avashastu pravartate. One must realize that the material condition of life is full of distresses. One can realize this with purified intelligence. When one's intelligence is purified, he can understand that unwanted, temporary, material life is just like a dream. Just as one suffers pain when his head is cut off in a dream, In ignorance, one suffers not only while dreaming, but also while awake. Without the mercy of the Supreme Personality Godhead, one continues in ignorance and is thus subjected to material distresses in various ways. 28. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, duty is to take to Krishna consciousness and burn the seed of fruit of activities artificially created by the modes of material nature and stop the flow of the intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.26. Mam chayo vyabhichari nati yogena sevate sagunam samati tyaitan prabhapuyaya kalpate prabhapuyaya kalpate prabhapuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service who does not fall down in any circumstance and once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. By the practice of Bhakti Yoga, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform, transcendental to the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. The root of ignorance is material consciousness, which must be killed by spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. The word Vija Nirharanam refers to burning the root cause of material life to ashes. In the Medhini Dictionary, yoga is explained by its result. Yoga purvarta sampratau sangati dhyana yuktishu. Dhyana yuktishu. When one is put into an awkward position because of ignorance, the process by which one can be freed from this entanglement is called yoga. I like that. I'm sorry, I just looked at a little packet of stickers. Look at this, holding pack. These things fall off too easily. But if I may bring back into evidence in this court, this one verse. Purvarta sampraptau sangati dhyana yuktishu. Could you say it out loud, please?
Yogi purvarta sampraptau sangati dhyana yuktishu.
Means?
Want to just kind of figure it out?
No, just say what it means.
What process is it?
Yeah.
When one is put into an awkward position because of ignorance, the process by which one can be freed from this entanglement is called yoga. This is also called liberation.
Isn't that nice? I mean, that's a very usable statement, I think. Websites, book distribution, seminars, and so forth, and giving it the meaning of yoga. You know, imagine starting a seminar about yoga meditation and so forth and telling people, when one is put into an awkward position because of ignorance, the process by which one can be free from this entanglement is called yoga. In other words, yogi purvarta samprata sangati dhyana yuktishu. Okay, moving on. This is called liberation. Mukti means giving up one's position in ignorance or illusion by which one thinks in a contrary way to his constitutional position. Returning to one's constitutional position is called mukti, and the process by which one does this is called yoga. Thus, yoga is above karma, jnana, and samkhya. Indeed, yoga is the ultimate goal of life. Krishna therefore advised Arjuna to become a yogi. Tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. Lord Krishna further advised in Bhagavad Gita that the first class yogi is he who has come to the platform of devotional service. Yoginam api sarvesham bhagatenam taratmana shatavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. Thus, one who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart is the best yogi. By practicing this best of all yoga systems, one is liberated from the material condition. 29. Of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life, the one personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be considered all perfect. That process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops. Purport. Among the linking processes that elevate one from bondage to material contamination, the one recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be accepted as the best. That process is clearly explained in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Sarva dharma kuritya mamekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This process is the best because the Lord assures, Aham tam sarvapapebhyo mokshayami. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. There is no need to be worried, for the Lord Himself assures that He will care for His devotee and save him from the reactions of sinful activities. Material bondage is the result of sinful activity. Therefore, since the Lord assures that He will dissipate the results of fruit of material activities, there is no need to be worried. This process of understanding one's position as a spirit soul and then engaging oneself in devotional service is therefore the best. The entire Vedic program is based on this principle, and one can understand it as recommended in the Vedas. Program, future program.
Yes.
Yasya devi prabhati yata devi tathagrao tasya devi tathayata prakashante mahatmanah prakashante mahatmanah prakashante mahatmanah.
And to those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Implicit. Implicit. Capable of being understood from something else through unexpressed, though unexpressed, implied, an implicit assumption. B. Involved in the nature or essence of something, though not revealed, expressed, or developed. Potential. A sculptor may see different figures implicit in a block of stone. C. Of a mathematical function defined by an expression in which the dependent variable and the one or more independent variables are not separated on opposite sides of an equation. Compare explicit. Two, being without doubt or reserve. That's what it is. Unquestioning. Implicitly is an adverb. Implicitness is a noun. There is a sense of moral duty implicit in her writings. I have implicit trust in her honesty. Origin, Latin, implicitus. Past participle of implicare. See implicate. Implicate, origin, middle English, conveyed by implicate. Latin, implicatus. Past participle, Latin, involve, more, employ. Which comes from. That's still im plus precari to fold or climb, keeps going down. So that the definition without question. Because implicit, it really has two different meanings, doesn't it? Would you all agree with that?
Yeah. Hmm. At least two.
Implicit. Yeah, at least two.
Denying it.
Huh?
Antonio's is a denying of implicit.
What did he say?
An antonym you're saying to implicit is deniable. But deniable.
That's an antonym.
Yeah, you're saying that's an antonym.
Yes, the opposite.
Okay. Adding that into the...
Thank you very much. Implicit faith, unquestioning faith. Okay?
Okay.
Yes, Raj, you were fine. Implicit. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith, implicare, invoke the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6:23. One must accept the pure devotee, representative of God, as one's guru, and then offer him all the respects one would offer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the secret of success. For one who adopts this method, the perfect process is revealed. In this verse, the words Yar Anjasa Riti indicate that by offering service and surrendering to the spiritual master, one is elevated to devotional service. And by performing devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of this attachment to the Lord, one can understand the Lord. In other words, one can understand what the Lord's position is, what our position is, and what our relationship is. All this can be understood very easily by the simple method of Bhakti Yoga. As soon as one is situated on the platform of Bhakti Yoga, the root cause of one's suffering and material bondage is destroyed. This is clearly explained in the next verse, which gives the secret of success. Guru Shushushaya Bhaktiya. One must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. Whatever one has in one's possession, one should be offered to the spiritual master, and in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet, and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of the Shastra and Guru. Purport, in the previous verse it has been said that the process which immediately increases one's love and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best of the many thousands of ways to become free from the entanglement of material existence. It is also said, Dharma, Sitatvam Nihitam Guhayam. Actually, the truth of religious principles is extremely confidential. Nonetheless, it can be understood very easily if one actually adopts the principle of religion. As it is said, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pramitam. The process of religion is enunciated by the Supreme Lord because he is the supreme authority. This is also indicated in the previous verse by the word Bhagavato Gita. The injunctions or directions of the Lord are infallible and their benefits are fully assured. The injunctions and directions of the Lord are infallible, and their benefits are fully assured. Mm. What do you think of that?
It's like an investment portfolio.
You put that right at the top. Our injunctions. Infallible, and our benefits are fully assured. According to his directions, which are explained in this verse, the perfect form of religion is Bhakti Yoga. The perfect form of religion is
Bhakti Yoga.
To practice Bhakti Yoga, one must first accept a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhaktivinoda Sindhu 1.2.74-75 advises Guru Pada Shriyastasmat Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam Vishampena Kuru Seva Sadhu Varman Vartanam Satana Prishabho Gandhi Tyaga Krishna Sehetave, Tyaga Krishna Sehetave, Tyaga Krishna Sehetave, Tyaga Krishna Sehetave. One's first duty is to accept the bona fide spiritual master. The student or disciple should be very inquisitive. He should be eager to know the complete truth about eternal religion, Sanatan Dharma. The words Guru Shushushaya mean that one should personally serve the spiritual master by giving him bodily comforts, helping him in bathing, dressing, sleeping, eating, and so on. This is called Guru Shushushanam. A disciple should serve the spiritual master as a menial servant, and whatever he has in his possession should be dedicated to the spiritual master. Pranar artar artar dhyana vacha Everyone has his life, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words, and all of them should be offered to the Supreme Personality of God through the via medium of the spiritual master. Everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty, but the offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. This offering is called arpana. Moreover, one should live among devotees, saintly persons, to learn the etiquette and proper behavior of devotional service. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered with love and affection, not for material adoration. Similarly, it is similarly, let's hear you say. It is recommended that one associate with devotees, but there must be some discrimination. Actually, a sadhu, a saintly person, must be saintly in his behavior. Sadhava sut achara. Unless one adheres to the standard behavior, one's position as a sadhu, a saintly person, is not complete. Therefore, Vaishnava, a sadhu, must completely adhere to the standard of behavior. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that a Vaishnava, a person initiated into the Vaishnava cult, should be offered the respect befitting a Vaishnava, which means that he should be offered service and prayers. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate.
That's because he doesn't follow the proper...
Let's have just a short session of reflection, starting with Pranahara.
Sorry to interrupt.
Not at all. This is a time for reflection. Please go ahead.
It's kind of a little question, just right at this end. Not a fit person with whom to associate. Because of the lack of proper sadhachar?
That's correct.
Okay. But he's a Vaishnava still because of
because of his mood of surrender to the Supreme Personality of God, even though he may have a lack of good qualities, if he has the one quality of mood of surrender to the Supreme Personality of God, is accepted as a Vaishnava, despite his world, his occasional worldliness, or even absorption in worldliness. Apichet sudharacharo ajitimamanabhavad. Doesn't mean, however, we have to associate intimately with such Vaishnavas. And this is in the commentary to Ishvare Taradineshu, Balisheshu du Satsucha. Prema Maitri Kripope Chaya Karoti Samadhi Maha, which defines the ways in which we associate with various entities. We develop love for the Supreme Lord, we make appropriate friendships with devotees, we give as much mercy as possible to the innocent, and we avoid the envious. And in the commentary to that verse in the 11th canto, the Acharyas say that this also applies to our ways of associating with devotees. Because some devotees may have some bad qualities, it doesn't mean that we have to intimately associate with them.
That last line reminded me of in the mid-70s, early 70s, when a few of Prabhupada's sannyasis had fallen down, but they would still be coming and associating at the temple with the devotees. And Prabhupada, someone asked Prabhupada, should we be bowing down? And Prabhupada said, we should offer them all respects in our hearts and minds, but that, there was a difference now.
Anything else? Other reflections? Okay, 32.
One should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his localized representation as the Paramatma, who is situated in the core of every living entity's heart. Thus, one should offer respect to every living entity according to that living entity's position or manifestation. Purport. Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu. This statement is sometimes misunderstood by unscrupulous persons who wrongly conclude that because Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated in every living entity is therefore Hari. Such foolish persons do not distinguish between the Atma and the Paramatma, who are situated in every body. The Atma is the living entity, and the Paramatma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual living entity, however, is different from the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu means that Hari is situated as Paramatma, not as Atma, although Atma is a part of Paramatma. Offering respect to every living entity means offering respect to the Paramatma situated in every living entity. One should not misunderstand every living entity to be the Paramatma. Sometimes unscrupulous persons designate a living entity as Daridra Narayana, Swami Narayana, this Narayana or that Narayana. One should clearly understand that although Narayana is situated in the core of the heart of every living entity, the living entity never becomes Narayana. Text 33. By these activities, as mentioned above, one is able to cut down the influence of the enemies, namely lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. And when this and when thus situated, one can render service to the Lord. In this way, one surely attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of God. Report. What are the enemies for the enemies?
Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, jealousy.
Got it. Just testing you. As mentioned in verses 30 and 31, one's first duty is to approach the spiritual master, the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and begin rendering service to him. Prahlad Maharaj proposed that from the very beginning of life, Kaumaram Kaumaram Acharat Pragya, a small child should be trained to serve the spiritual master while living at the Gurukula. Brahmachari Guru Kale Vasantantu Guru Hitam. This is the beginning of spiritual life. Guru Pada Shraya Sadhu Manuvartanam Saddharma Prichcha. By following the instructions of the Guru and the Shastras, the disciple attains the stage of devotional service and becomes. By following the instructions of the Guru and the Shastras, the disciple attains the stage of devotional service and becomes unattached to possessions. Whatever he possesses, he offers to the spiritual master, the Guru, who engages him in Shravana Kirtana Vishnu. The disciple follows strictly and in this way learns how to control his senses. Then, by using his pure intelligence, he gradually becomes a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami, Adau Shraddha Tatak Sadhu Sangha. In this way, one's life becomes perfect, and his attachment for Krishna becomes positively manifested. In that stage, he is situated in ecstasy, experiencing Bhava and Anubhava, as explained in the following verse. Text 34. One who is situated in devotional service is certainly the controller of the senses, and thus he is a liberated person. When such a liberated person, the pure devotee, hears of the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord's incarnations for the performance of various pastimes, his hair stands on end on his body. Tears fall from his eyes. And in his spiritual realization, his voice falters. Sometimes he very openly dances. Sometimes he sings loudly, and sometimes he cries. Thus he expresses his transcendental jubilation. Purport. The Lord's activities are uncommon. For example, when he appeared as Lord Ramachandra, he performed uncommon activities, like bridging the ocean. Similarly, when Lord Krishna appeared, he raised the Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years of age. These are uncommon activities. Fools and rascals who are not in the transcendental position consider these uncommon activities of the Lord to be mythological. But when the pure devotee, the liberated person, hears about these uncommon activities of the Lord, he immediately becomes ecstatic and exhibits the symptoms of chanting, dancing, and crying very loudly and jubilantly. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Text 35. When a devotee becomes like a person haunted by a ghost, he laughs and very loudly chants about the qualities of the Lord. Sometimes he sits to perform meditation, and he offers respects to every living entity, considering him a devotee of the Lord. Constantly breathing very heavily, he becomes careless of social etiquette and loudly chants like a madman.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna!
Oh my Lord! Oh Master of the Universe! Purport. When one chants the holy name of the Lord in ecstasy, not caring for outward social convention, it is to be understood that he is Atmamati. In other words, his consciousness is turned toward the Supreme Personality of the Godhead.
We have a couple minutes for reflections. Anything that you've heard so far? Yes.
I had a question. Prabhupada Maharaj is saying that the preliminary activity of devotional service is to take a spiritual master. And I'm wondering about what is the difference in, like we hear Srila Prabhupada say about in Nectar of Devotion, that the connection to Krishna consciousness is not factually performed unless someone gets initiated. So what's the difference between in sort of like spiritual attainment from a person who doesn't get initiated and a person who does?
Just what you said, then the connection to the Supreme Personality of God is made complete. Dikshikali Bhakti Kari Apasamapan, Shay Kali Apakari Krishna Apasam. When one surrenders and takes Diksha, the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, then at that time, Krishna considers that person to be as good as himself, the same category. And then one's spiritual life is activated. In fact, in that section where that verse is quoted, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking about how the prarabdha, the manifest body of a person, it changes at the time of initiation. He no longer has a material body. He doesn't have a completely spiritual body, but he has a practitioner's body, which is it's the next stage in transformation of the body. Sadhaka Deha, it's a practitioner's body.
So therefore, could you say, this is such a nice answer you just gave, by the way.
Thank you.
I was deep in the world.
Thank you.
So, to me, the essence of that is that it's not mechanical. It's just not you do this and then you get that. It's not like a mechanistic, result that you get from some. It's personal. In other words, when you take the initiation, when you agree to take the vow and take the initiation, Krishna in your heart says, oh, he likes me. Well, I like him too. You know, it's like that.
And we discussed the opposite of that, Vishnu Chakra, in the commentary, yeah. Vishnu Chakra Bhavitaka in the sixth canto, if a bona fide spiritual master is available and one defers and says, that's all right, I'll do it on my own, as Vishnu Chakra Bhavitaka put it, someone thinks, oh, it's too much trouble to surrender to a spiritual master. He says, then one will be committing the third offense to the holy name. And that, obviously there's an important connection there, the agency of the spiritual master. It's mentioned again and again. And then Vishnu Chakravarti says, then such a person, he'll go on chanting the holy name, and in his next life, he can take a spiritual master and then come to the culmination or the perfection of chanting.
In the 11th canto, there's that verse in which Krishna makes the statement that he has decided to purify the world by the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees. And then another example Prabhupada gave was that if you go to cultivate a new friendship, and you go to your friend invites you over to his house, and he's got a little dog, and when you walk in the door, you keep the dog in the face, then you're not going to be very, this person's not going to say, well, okay,
what would happen?
Maybe he's not such a good friend after all.
Even if you look at the dog askance,
what
a sick looking dog you got.
Yeah, so if you're friendly and you pet the dog, the dog likes you, and this and that, then automatically the master of the house wants to be your
last two. Fantastic. Last two, and then I go. Okay.
I just remember that we read chapter 2 ago, we read that someone does not need initiation to attain Krishna Prema, it was in the purport, but by mantra, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but it will take a lot, could take a lot longer time, we read that one. And I relate this to Rupa Goswami's take everything auspicious. We should take advantage of all possible auspicious opportunities to accelerate our process because the position we are in is quite intense.
Yeah, very important point. Okay, absolutely, last one.
Just wondering if you could say something on the nature of Vishrampa, Vishrampina, Goswami says much as sir. The spiritual master, this kind of friendship, but it's not like chummy pal friendship. So the quality that's there, can you help us understand that?
Well, it's like a fire. You want to be close enough to the fire so you get the benefit of the heat. But if you get too close, you get burned. And if you get too far away from the fire, like being too official or ceremonious, then you don't get the heat. So you have to have this healthy balance. Get just close enough, and also it should be service related. That's a way to keep that kind of friendship and whatever kind of familiarity develops in the right track is it's for service instead of you and me, it's you and me, we're all together because mercy flows down, and whenever you're with a teacher, you have to keep yourself in a lower position. Even if in ordinary circumstances you're more qualified in some ways, if you're trying to learn something from that person, you have to take the lower position for the mercy and the instruction flow down. And from the spiritual master, who's the agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, again and again we're hearing how much respect we have to have, because Guru is a principle and is also a person, both things in one. And we have to consider those two things at the same time when we're dealing with Guru. We got to stop because yes.
It doesn't require a microphone.
Please, okay. Yeah, give him the mic.
All right.
Everything Hubby says should be mic.
I just wanted to know if that principle implies also for the Siksha Guru. In other words...
Well, there's Siksha and Diksha Guru are to be respected on an equal level, but their functions are different. one plants the seed and the other waters the seed. Of course, they can overlap as well. So which is more important, who plants the seed or waters the seed? They're equal importance. But the Diksha Guru is kind of like, it's almost like having a deity. So you have to have somewhere to focus your mind, that image of a person who represents the highest ideal in devotional service, where, you know, you look at a picture. That's why in deity worship, you know, you have a picture of your guru, and that's there for you to meditate on. So the Diksha Guru takes a kind of role like that. That's why it's mentioned that the Diksha Guru is more in the mood of the Sambandhagyan, and then the Shiksha Guru is more on the Sambandha Abhideya level. So the Shiksha Guru, but the functions, all the support has to be there at those different levels. We got to go.
One more question.
We really do. We got a car to catch. We'll be back in about 22 minutes.
Got a car to catch?
Yeah, it's here at 12.
Nice.
Your pool is moving. So I have to take her over to a new place. That's it. Now we're taking our guide break. We'll be back here in 12:32 and a half. At which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Purport. When a devotee is completely purified, he becomes anyabhilashita shunya. In other words, all of his material desires become zero, being burned to ashes, and he exists either as the Lord's servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover. Because one thinks constantly in this way, one's present material body and mind are fully spiritualized, and the needs of one's material body completely vanish from one's existence. An iron rod put into a fire becomes warmer and warmer, and when it is red hot, it is no longer an iron rod but fire. Similarly, when a devotee constantly engages in devotional service and thinks of the Lord in his original Krishna consciousness, he no longer has any material desires, for his body is spiritualized. Similarly, when a devotee constantly engages in devotional service and thinks of the Lord in his original Krishna consciousness, he no longer has any material activities, for his body is spiritualized. Advancement in Krishna consciousness is very powerful, and therefore, even during this life, such a devotee has achieved the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. This transcendental ecstatic existence of a devotee was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya writes as follows: Tad bhava bhava tad yata swarupam bhakti kechit bhakta yanti kayanti chayati sitam kechit tushnim japantyeva kechit shubhaya karinaha. The ecstatic condition of devotional service was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sometimes danced, sometimes cried, sometimes sang, sometimes remained silent, and sometimes chanted the holy name of the Lord. That is perfect spiritual existence. 37. The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshipping the Supersoul within everyone's heart. Purport. Generally, it is understood that by merging into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, one becomes completely happy. The words Brahman Nirvana refer to connecting with the Absolute Truth, who is realized in three features: Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdite. One feels Brahmasukh, spiritual happiness, by merging into the impersonal Brahman, because the Brahmajyoti is the effulgence of the Supreme Person. Yasya prabha prabhuto jagadanda koti Yasya Prabha, the impersonal Brahman, consists of the rays of Krishna's transcendental body. Therefore, whatever transcendental bliss one feels from merging in Brahman is due to contact with Krishna. Contact with Krishna is perfect Brahma-sukha. When the mind is in touch with the impersonal Brahman, one becomes satisfied. But one must advance further to render service to Godhead. Merged in the Brahman, as it is said, Aruya Krishna Padamatata Patanjato Nadrita Yudhangraya. One may merge in the Brahman feature, one may fall because of not being acquainted with the Dhoksaja or Vasudeva. Not being acquainted. Nice to make your acquaintance. Of course, such Brahma Sukh undoubtedly eliminates material happiness. But when one advances through impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma to approach the Supreme Personality, how they've guided once one is very intimately connected with the contamination. Ya nivrittis tanubratam. This cessation of all material happiness is called nivritti or nirvana. Srila Rupa says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.38, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Super Soul feature always exists within the cores of the hearts of all living entities. Indeed, He is the well-wisher and friend of all living entities. And there is no difficulty in worshipping the Lord. Why then should people not engage in His devotional service? Why are they so addicted to unnecessarily producing artificial paraphernalia for sense gratification? They brought out their most enthusiastic preachers every year. He's not playing games. Okay, purport. Because the personality of Godhead is supreme, no one is equal to Him, and no one is greater than Him. Nevertheless, if one is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord is easily obtainable. Nonetheless, if one is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord is easily obtainable. The Lord is compared to the sky because the sky is vast, yet within the reach of all, not only of human beings, but even of the animals. The Supreme Lord in this Paramatma feature exists as the best well-wisher and friend, as confirmed in the Vedas, Sayujjao Sakayao. The Lord, in His super soul feature, always stays in the heart along with the living entity. The Lord is so friendly to the living entity that He remains within the heart so that one can always contact Him without difficulty. That's got to be one of the best lines in all the purports. The Lord, in His super soul feature, always stays in the heart along with the living entity. The Lord is so friendly to the living entity that He remains within the heart so that one can always contact Him without difficulty.
That's so beautiful.
It's really nice. You still there? One can do this simply by devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. As soon as one hears of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Kirtan, one immediately comes in touch with the Lord.
Hare Krishna.
A devotee immediately comes in touch with the Lord by any or all of the items of devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Arjanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam Sakyamatma Nivedanam Sakyamatma Nivedanam. Therefore, there is no difficulty in coming in contact with the Supreme Lord. koti pariyasa. On the other hand, going to hell requires great endeavor. If one wants to go to hell by illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication, he must acquire so many things. For illicit sex, he must arrange for money for brothels. For meat eating, he must arrange for many slaughterhouses. For gambling, he must arrange for casinos and hotels. And for intoxication, he must open many breweries. Clearly, therefore, if one wants to go to hell, he must endeavor very much. But if he wants to return home, back to Godhead, there is no difficult endeavor. To go back to anywhere in any condition and simply sit down, meditate upon the Supersoul, and chant and hear about the Lord. Thus, there is no difficulty in approaching the Lord. Because of inability to control the senses, one must go through great endeavor to go to hell. But if one is sensible, he can very easily obtain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the Lord is always with him. By the simple method of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, the Lord is satisfied. Indeed, the Lord says, Patram Pushtram Panatoya. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. One can meditate upon the Lord anywhere. Thus Prahlad Maharaj advised his friends, the sons of the demons, to take this path back home, back to Godhead, without difficulty. 39. One's beautiful wife and female friends, one's sons and daughters, one's residence, one's domestic animals like cows, elephants, and horses, one's treasury, economic gratification, indeed, even the lifetime that one can enjoy all these material opulences are certainly temporary and flickering. Since the opportunity of human life is temporary, what benefit can material opulences give to a sensible man who has understood himself? Purport. This verse describes how the advocates of economic development are frustrated by the laws of nature. As the previous verse asks, Kim Vaishoya Papan Tanani, what is the actual benefit of so-called economic development? The history of the world has factually proved that attempts to increase economic development for bodily comfort through the advancement of material civilization have done nothing to remedy the inevitability of birth, death, old age, and disease. Everyone has knowledge of huge empires throughout the history of the world, the Roman Empire, the Mughal Empire, the British Empire, and so on. But all the societies engaged in such economic development, sarve, tar, kamaha, have been frustrated by the laws of nature through periodic wars, pestilence, famine, and so on. Thus, all their attempts have been flickering and temporary. In this verse, therefore, it is said, Kurvanti Markasya Kiyat Priyam Jalaha. One may be very proud of possessing a vast empire. They are impermanent. After 100 or 200 years, everything is finished. All such positions of economic development, although created with great endeavor and hardship, are vanquished very soon. Therefore, they have been described as Chalaha. An intelligent man. The entire world is described in Bhagavad Gita as dukkhalayam shashvatam, miserable and temporary. Economic development may be pleasing for some time, but it cannot endure. Businessmen are now very morose because they are being harassed by various plundering governments. In conclusion, why should one waste his time for so-called economic development, which is neither permanent nor pleasing to the soul? On the other hand, our relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternal. Nityasiddha Krishna Prema. The pure souls are eternally in love with Krishna. And this permanent love, either as a servant, a friend, a parent, or a conjugal lover, is not at all difficult to revive. Especially that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Harinama, 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 Yukevalam, one revives his original relationship with God and thus becomes so happy that he does not want anything material as enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nataram Dajanam Dasundarim Kavitam Bhajagadishakamaye. A very advanced devotee in Krishna consciousness does not want riches, followers, or possessions. Raya Kalatram Pashaha Sutadayo Brihat Mahi Kunjarako Shabhutayaha. The satisfaction of possessing, although perhaps a different standard, again, the satisfaction of possessing material opulences, although perhaps a different standard, again, the satisfaction of possessing material opulences, although perhaps of a different standard, is available even in the lives of dogs and hogs, who cannot revive their eternal relationship with Krishna. In human life, however, our eternal dormant relationship with Krishna is possible to revive. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj has described his life as artavelam. Consequently, instead of wasting our time for economic development, which cannot give us any happiness, if we simply try to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna, we will properly utilize our lives.
Hare Krishna.
40. It is learned from Vedic literature that by performing great sacrifices one may elevate himself to the heavenly planets. However, although life on the heavenly planets is hundreds and than life on earth, the heavenly planets are not pure, nirmala, or free from the taint of material existence. The heavenly planets are also temporary, and therefore, they are not the goal of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, has never been seen or heard to possess in... How's everyone pronouncing that? The state of being inebriated, drunkenness. Examples, there were in her bouts inebriety when she actually thought that her boyfriend's jokes were funny. Origin, probably blend of inebriation and ebriety, first known as 1801. Synonyms, drunkenness, inebriation, intoxication.
There's an older meaning to it.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where is that found? In the OED. You know? Do you have a dictionary that has the older meaning? This one apparently is not deep enough to give the archaic meaning.
I would like to publicly make an appreciation for what Vaishishika Thakura just did. Because I'm about to start the VBT official audiobooks of the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, full, complete. And this is a word that comes up a lot. And it would have been a shame if I would have, you know, pronounced it wrong. Thank you very much. And we're going to give you credits and credits. And Vaishishika was.
Inebriety.
This is the Hindi
meaning. Matpal.
Matpal
is the matpal. Intoxication, nashaku.
Drunk.
Shrinking.
Drink
something.
Now when you say it like this over and over again, it doesn't sound like right the way we've done it before at all.
Well, one thing is to get on the OED, you have to have a subscription. They don't let you on for free on the internet. So, I'll have to look it up later. because I don't want to take too much time, but we'd like to find all the meaning. That other word, sanguine, that's another one that's always confounding. Yeah.
That's from Greek philosophy.
Means reddish sheet.
Yeah, they believe in four humors.
They believe in four humors. Which were?
Sanguine.
Who is they?
The Greeks.
Greeks.
Then inside of that, there are few available online.
Hey Siri, give me the etymological dictionary.
Argument.
Okay. You're fired.
More comprehensive.
Listening. She's listening. Where is she listening?
Etty?
Okay. One
no. Cool. Dictionary. Etymological dictionary.
They have good content.
On my etymological dictionary. And now we're looking for in a b r what?
I e t y.
Come on, baby needs a new pair of shoes. Inebriety. Entry found. Inebriate. Inebriate noun, adjective, inebriety, and inebrious. 1711, that's a little older. Work with me, people. The Latin, inebriatus, past participle of inebriere, to make drunk, from in. In, from pi root n, in, plus ebriere, make drunk, from ebrius, drunk. Probably from pi root. It's got Old English, to drink, related, inebriated, inebriating. Also used in 19th century English for inebriacy, inebriate. That's nice. It acted as an inebriant. A noun, 1808, an adjective, inebriety, 1801, inebrious, Old English used. Indriacon as a lone translation of Latin inebriere. Nada. Oh, look at the OEDs as we get home. Project. Okay. Where were we now?
Verse to 48.
48?
In the 40. Verse. The time
we're
check
in the verse.
40, the verse towards the end.
Get out. Where are we now? Through the end of the...
End of 14
verses.
It is learned from the Vedic literature that by performing great sacrifices... Let's start on that one. That ends this morning's reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to be continued at 3:30. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Gaur Premana
Haribo.
Haribo. Haribo. Haribo. Haribo,
Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman.